So far, so good. Week two, you showed up, I showed up. But I have to be honest, there's more to come. And that's all part of this new pastorate, because my responsibilities also include Partyville and Buffalo. Next weekend, I'll be over there celebrating Mass. Father Joji will be here with you. The weekend after that, I'll be up in Montello and Westfield, and Father Savio will be with you. And so it just takes great patience, doesn't it? With ourselves, with each other, and just trying to grasp, how do we keep the Lord front and center, even though, gosh, it just, I don't know, who's going to be with us this weekend? But God's always faithful. That's why I have found great joy, truly, this past week. If you were with us last weekend, I couldn't help but be humbled by the gift of that story of Elisha, who goes to the Shunammite couple, who they, in their hospitality, they prepare a room for him, they give him a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp. And then he asks that question, is there anything I can do for you? And he discovers that they have no children and that her husband is aged. So here, Elisha speaks a word of promise. He says, I assure you, this time next year, you will be fondling a baby son. I find comfort in that for you, St. Mary, and for me. Right amidst the uncertainty, amidst the unclarity, the anxiety about what's this going to be like, just, Randy, trust. A year from now, if you can stay patient with yourself and one another, there will be life. There will be potential. So we just keep that promise before us. And now this sense of Jesus instructs, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Two comments about that expression of yoke. In the biblical world, in the agricultural world, it had everything to do with that piece of wood that yoked two oxen together as they were plowing a field, so that they would pull side by side, and together they would carry the task. One wouldn't go one way, they were yoked together. Another connotation of what it was to be yoked, a student would yoke themselves to a teacher, meaning they would kind of move in, they would observe, they would watch, they would observe how they taught, how they instructed, sometimes they would even live with, and with others who wanted to be yoked to that same teacher. Jesus uses that expression, my yoke, take my yoke upon you. One of the things we should reflect on is, what yoke do you carry? Are you yoked to? And sometimes we might hear that and say, you know, I'm not sure I want to be yoked to anybody. I know what's best for my life. I don't want to be told where to go. I want to determine what's right. I want to determine my path. I want to determine. And guess what? If that's the attitude of the heart, then you're yoked to yourself. Or we can be yoked to, like, work and career. Like our actual worth is determined by our work. And as long as our career and our work is flourishing and prospering, then we have great worth. We're yoked to our work. We can be yoked to, like, pleasure and possessions. We're like, we are continuously held captive to this desire for more, something better, something more, the next thing, the next fix, this desire for more. We're yoked to our possessions. We can be yoked to people. Parents yoked to their children. spouses yoked to each other, grandchildren. That sense of, like, where it becomes so dominant in our life. Like, I don't even know what I'd do if it weren't for my kids. We can be yoked to people. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. What does his yoke look like? Right there. Don't ever forget. Don't ever forget his love for you. Like, he laid down his life for you. He went to the cross. He said, no one takes my life. I lay it down freely. He endured the suffering out of his love for you. So don't you want to yoke your life with someone who will lay down their life for you with no strings attached, but out of pure love? Then he says, become like little children. Two things about children for us to be mindful of. And I think it was little Stella who was baptized maybe a month ago. Is that right? Two things. When Jesus used that expression about little ones, this is it, folks. Two things. Number one, she's helpless. Like, hold me, feed me, clothe me, wipe me. Isn't that the mantra? She's helpless. And the second piece that children know is they know they are loved. Do you know how helpless you are? And do you know how loved you are? Like, God can't love you any more tomorrow than today. Keep those truths before you. Thus, when he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Then when we come to the Eucharist and we say amen, what we're proclaiming is I am helpless and I am loved by you. I don't want to forget that. Like, my life takes on greater purpose and meaning yoked with you. I know you laid down your life for me. I want to trust your will, your plan, everything. I want to give you everything. And then finally, the prayer. That little prayer, those six words I spoke of last week. If we can just pray them each day, each morning, if you can pray them as family, if you can just not only just pray them, but pray them throughout the day and trust them. Do you remember? Lead me where you need me. One more time. Lead me where you need me.